Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ashoka Buildcon 3Q FY26 conference call hosted by IIFL Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit Bhandari from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mudit Bhandari.
Thank you so much, Ikra. Good afternoon, everybody. On behalf of IIFL Capital, I welcome you all to Q3 FY26 earnings conference call of Ashoka Buildcon Limited. From the management, we have Mr. Satish Parakh, Managing Director, and Mr. Paresh Mehta, Chief Financial Officer. With this, I would request Mr. Satish Parakh to start with his opening comments, and then we can open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mudit. Good afternoon, everyone. I welcome you all to the Q3 9-month FY26 earnings conference call of Ashoka Buildcon Limited. Thank you for taking out time and to join us for this operational and financial updates for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2025. Joining me on this call are our CFO, Mr. Paresh Mehta, and our investor relations partner from SGA. The Indian highway sector is currently navigating a phase of major transition, where the emphasis is gradually shifting from rapid expansion to quality, sustainability, and capital efficiency. While near-term activity levels reflect moderation, the medium to long-term structural outlook for the sector remains intact. The awarding activity by the central agencies has remained subdued for the past 2 years, and in this financial year, the highway construction is expected to drop by 10%-15% to 9,000-9,500 kilometers from 10,660 kilometers in 2024-25. The construction of national highways this financial year will be lowest since 2017-18. That said, there are several signs of improvement also. The Ministry of Road Transport and Highways and NHAI have consciously recalibrated their focus to corridor-based development, access-controlled highways, and expressways. Under this approach, the government is targeting approximately 11,000 kilometers by FY27 and 15,000 kilometers by FY32, up from 3,000 kilometers currently, reflecting a sharper focus on economic productivity, safety, logistics, efficiency, rather than sheer scale. At the same time, the government focus on financial prudence at NHAI continues. ₹35,000-40,000 crores is expected for monetization of road assets in FY26 by NHAI, which will be used for supporting new investments without materially increasing the public sector leverage. An important positive development for the sector is renewed push towards PPP models. Against this backdrop, Ashoka aims to leverage its strong execution capabilities, prudent capital management, and experience across EPC, HAM, and BOT assets monetization models. We remain well-positioned to navigate the cycle and participate in the next phase of growth. Now, let me take you through some of the key developments during the period. We began with significant portfolio monetization milestone in November 2025. Ashoka Concessions Limited completed the sale of its entire stake in five BOT SPVs to Maple Infrastructure Trust and its nominees. The transaction was concluded for an aggregate consideration of 1,814 crores and marks an important step in unlocking value from mature assets. I'm pleased to announce that this led to a significant reduction in our consolidated debt from 4,910 crores in September to 2,722 crores in December 2025, and aligns with our strategic move towards deleveraging, thus reducing interest costs and strengthening our balance sheet. Following this, Ashoka Buildcon Limited acquired equity shares in Ashoka Concessions Limited and Ashoka Buildcon, together with Viva Aires Limited, acquired the remaining Class A and Class B CCDs held by the investors. This was done for an aggregate consideration of 667 crores, resulting in a full acquisition of securities previously held by Macquarie SBI Infrastructure Funds. This transaction consolidates our control and simplifies the ownership structure of ACL, which is now 100% subsidiary of Ashoka Buildcon. On the project execution front, two major letters of acceptance were received from BNC through joint ventures. The Adani Ashoka Akshaya JV secured Mithi River development and allied work projects valued at 1,816 crores excluding GST. The project includes a 48-month design and build phase followed by 10 years of O&M. In addition, the Ashoka Akshaya JV received a LOA for a flyover construction project worth 1041 crores including GST with 24-month execution timeline. Ashoka has also secured an additional scope of work order from the BMC toward the existing Sion Panvel highway flyover project amounting to rupees 447 crores including taxes, reflecting continued confidence in our execution capabilities. Lastly, we received an LOA from the Public Works Department in Daman for a construction of a signature bridge connecting Jampur seafront to Devka seafront. This project is valued at 307.7 crores, excluding GST, with a completion timeline of 30 months. Coming to the order book status, the company has received four new project orders, including one additional work order, as discussed above from BMC and Daman Public Road Department. As on 31st December 2025, our balance order book stands at 15,927 crores. This is excluding orders received post 31st December 2025 of INR 308 crores. So as on date, it is 16,235 crores of balance order book. Roads and railway projects comprise around 10,292 crores, which is 65% of the total order book. Among the road projects order book, HAM projects are to the tune of 1,705 crores. EPC road projects are to the tune of 7,025 crores. And railway is around 1,562 crores. Tower T&D accounts for around 5,108 crores. Which is approximately 32.1% of the total order book. Total EPC building segment is to the tune of 528 crores, which is 3.3% of the total order book. Our primary focus remains on maintaining a substantial EPC business in segments of roads, highways, railways, power transmission, distribution, as well as buildings. I now request Mr. Paresh Mehta, CFO, to present the financial performance. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Starting with the standalone numbers, for Q3 FY26, total income stood at INR 1,492 crores as compared to INR 1,816 crores in Q3 FY25, a degrowth of 18%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 157 crores, a degrowth of 16% year-on-year, with an EBITDA margin of 10.6%, an improvement by 30 bps year-on-year. Profit before tax, before exceptional items, stood at INR 50 crores. Overall PAT stood at 102 crores against INR 61 crores during Q3 FY25, up by 68% year-on-year. Our revenue contribution for each segment for Q3 FY26 is as follows. Road EPC 51.9%, Road EPC HAM 13.2%, Power T&D 21.9%, Railways 9%, and other segments 4%. For 9 months FY26, standalone, total income stood at 4,134 crores as compared to 5,175 crores in 9 months FY25, a degrowth of 50%. EBITDA for 9 months FY26 stood at 468 crores, down 5% year on year with an EBITDA margin of 11.3%, an improvement over FY25 of 180 bits. Profit before tax, before exceptional items, stood at 150 crores and PAT stood at INR 272 crores as compared to 138 crores in 9 months FY25, up by 97% year on year. Coming to the consolidated results, total income for Q3 FY26 stood at 1,866 crores as compared to INR 2,426 crores in Q3 FY25, registering a 23% degrowth. EBITDA for the quarter stood at INR 474 crores, down by 30% year-on-year with EBITDA margin of 25.4%. Profit before tax, before exceptional items, stood at 233 crores. PAT stood at 2,111 crores during Q3 FY26. Total consolidated as on 31st December 2025 stood at INR 2,722 crores, down from 4,910 crores. The standalone debt is at 1,046 crores, which comprises of INR 79 crores on equipment loan, 300 crores on NCDs, and INR 610 crores on working capital loans. In Q3 FY26, in our BOT division, the company recorded a total gross toll collection of 773 crores from Jaora Nayagaon Toll Road Company. With this, we now open the floor for question answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Sir, on the EBITDA margin side, we saw some impact on Q3 and also other expenditure was quite high at 71 crores. So is there any one-off and why the margins were lower on a QOQ basis?
On a QOQ basis, I think so the EBITDA stood at approximately 9%, which is almost equal to that. It's more an impact of a lower turnover and coverage of the fixed overheads which are there. Otherwise, I think so they are... and certain provision on
basis, the turnover was higher.
Yeah, on the, there was ECA provision which has increased the other expenses.
What is the quantum of the provision?
25 crores.
And what is it regarding to 25 crores?
Maybe I'll come back to it.
Okay. So secondly, how do you see the margin going ahead in Q4 and FY27?
So as we have been saying, the margins will improve over the quarters as we go ahead. Q4 26 will typically remain similar, but 26-27 definitely will be in the range of 9-9.5% plus.
We don't see that double-digit margin yet in 2027. You are targeting around 10-10.5-11%.
So we see as the quarter goes on quarter on quarter, but we believe the bits which are there, the pipeline which is there, will throw approximately 10-10.5%. I'm being a bit conservative.
Okay. Now, secondly, on the overall revenue side, we have seen quite a weak numbers in the first 9 months. So how do you see the revenue for 26 and what will be your guidance for 27?
So 26, probably based on current order book and the way the projects are moving, the new projects having started a bit late, we believe that we will probably may not be able to achieve last year's revenue, and we'll be probably short by approximately 8%-10%. But going ahead for 2026-2027, we definitely believe that 15% growth would be there, or 15% growth will be there over  2026.
Given the lower base.
Pardon?
So given the lower base of 26, so even if we grow at 15%, we'll be still lower than our 24 and 25 revenue numbers. So do you see scope of higher growth?
Yes. It will also depend on certain new projects which we are vying for and order book which will come. Then probably we'll do a better number, definitely.
Okay. Lastly, on the order inflow side, so what would be our order inflow in terms of EPC value for YTD FY26?
Here today, approximately 5,200 crores is the order book flow for EPC in 9 months, and another 307 crores which has come post-December.
So what are you targeting for the entire year?
So we believe that we should, keeping in these 3 months, 2 months available, around 3,000-odd crores order book should come in, with probably NHAI also pushing their biddings probably in the last 2 months. I think 3,000 should be an easy number to achieve for a new order inflow.
Okay. 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 Thank you, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Modi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for providing me the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. Sir, first, I saw your order book details, and there were a few of the slow-moving projects like Kundalika, Jaigarh, Bandkot, Gaimukh, Payagaon. So how are we looking in terms of accelerating the speed of execution?
So these projects basically are suffering in terms of land acquisition, and probably this would get over in another quarter. So next year, we'll see a good pickup in all these projects.
Okay. Okay. Sir, second, in terms of the appointed date for Guskara, Boyavanchi, so when it is expected?
So we expect in February. February, we should get an appointed date for this.
So what actually took it so long? Because I think we completed the financial closure two quarters back.
Yes, we completed financial closure, but land acquisition is still very difficult in West Bengal.
Okay.
Now, this will pick up only in these 2 months. That is what they have promised. By February, they should be able to award us.
Understood. So third point was there are two things in the BOT assets we sold. One was the holdback amount, and second is the contingent consideration. So when are we, what is the quantification in terms of the holdback amount and the contingent consideration, and what are the expected timelines?
So on the holdback amounts, in the HAM, we have approximately 96 crores of holdback, and in the BOT project, approximately 50 crores. We expect both these numbers to materialize before March, all the compliances or whatever actions to be taken. So I think before around February, between February and March, we should get those monies released along with the sale of at least four of the six assets before March.
Okay. And sir, what about the contingent consideration? There was some 500 crore of compute.
Yeah. The contingent consideration is a consideration linked to extension of concession period, which will take approximately a year, 1 to 2 years, for it to materialize with NHAI. Once the period is freezed, at that time, the monies will be released. So it will be based on how NHAI gives us the extension for no traffic as per concession.
Okay. But right now, we cannot zero in on any number, right, sir? Because that will only be computed once the NHAI gives the approval for the extension.
Right.
Okay. Sir, one point was, sir, you have created some impairment, you know, for certain subsidiary loans in your financials. So what is this, you know, which is the subsidiary and what is the loan amount? What is the loan amount?
So largely this is, we have floated a subsidiary in Saudi for businesses in the Middle East, where we have incurred establishment expenses of around 37 crores, which is taken as an impairment. We are looking at business. Being prudent, we have presently impaired it. As soon as we get business, probably these amounts will get reversed. This is the initial establishment expenses for the office established for overseas projects.
Okay. And last question from my end. These are regarding two things. One is the timeline and the amount for the, you know, balance 6 assets to be monetized. And second is the, sir, you know, the NHAI, the matter which are subsidies, you know, we got actually, you know, you can say the, you know, immunity from the, you know, court. But where is the, you know, where is the matter now, right, at present?
So it's a status quo. Still there is a stay from the court. And we are bidding NHR projects on other projects. So there is no impact on the business as such.
Okay. But do we expect any, you know, any action from the NHAI or has it gone to any, you know, disciplinary committee, you know, the thing? So, like, what is the status with that?
We have formed a committee and work is in progress. Yeah. There will be a series of meetings and then decision will be taken.
Okay.
As our stand,
So in the last question about the, you know, monetization of the, you know, balance 6 assets, you know, what are the timelines and, you know, what are the amount that we can expect?
Yeah, so for the monetization of the 6 HAM projects which are yet with us, 4 of the HAM projects we expect to monetize by March, approximately 750 crores plus, and the last two projects approximately 400 crores by in June, by June 26.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Sahu from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. On the bidding part that you mentioned, if you can help us on the, what is the current bid pipeline that we have?
So current bid pipeline for NHI is around 65,000 crores. And
of 20,000 crores. 20,000 crores.
Yeah.
Okay, understood, sir. And just one other question would be on the HAM equity investment. What is the what would be the amount that, you know, we have invested till date, and you know, what are we planning? How much is the amount you know that we would invest going forward?
So on the equity investment balance for the current HAM portfolio, approximately 320 crores is balance, of which largely 220 crores is for the new HAM project Boichetty, and balance is for the TS3 and TS4, that is Tumkur Shivamogga 3 and 4, balance equity to be invested.
Okay. Okay.
So which will be invested in the period of 180 crores by March 26, 27, 72 crores, and 27, 28, 72 crores.
Okay, 180 crores by March 26 and 70.
March or June 23. I mean, it all depends on how Boichetty, what do you call it, appointed date is declared.
Okay. Understood, sir. Understood. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mudit Bhandari from IIFL Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead. Mudit, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with the question.
Hi, sir. Out of the total order book of around 15,900 crores, so how much is executable? I mean, how much is any pending clearance, including appointed date or any other clearances?
So this entire is executable. We already received appointed date and work is progress on all the projects.
So, but even if we let's say look at last quarter order book, so we are not able to execute in terms of reported numbers from revenue. So, is there any other challenge?
So, as I explained earlier, these five projects of bridges are stuck up due to land acquisition. They are slow moving. So, we expect them by quarter one, we should be able to pick up on all these projects. And Boichandi project, which we explained to you, we have to get the appointed date. So that we are expecting in Feb. So March onwards, we should be able to carry out work on this project also.
Understood, sir. And from comparing Q on Q, from 2Q to 3Q, how's the payment been from IHI side or from DISCOM side across all our sectors?
Payment-wise, there is not much issue either at NHI level or DISCOM level. DISCOMs are also funded from central funds. So payment-wise, there is not an issue. Execution-wise, there have been challenges. And that is how the order book has moved a little slower.
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the monetization of the BOT assets. So, sir, well, most of the questions are answered, just a few bookkeeping kind of questions. So, these five BOT assets which we sold, what was the enterprise value and the equity value of these assets?
So enterprise value was, the equity value was approximately 2,300, against which there was a debt of approximately 2,500 crores. So enterprise was approximately 5,600. So the debt has already been excluded from the consolidated now. And out of the total equity of 2,300, we have already realized 1,750 crores. And balance will be realized over a period of time, including contingent consideration.
Yeah, sir. So now after these monetizations, and even we are hopeful of monetizing four other HAM assets, so by end of FY26, where do we see our debt levels?
So once we monetize this four assets also, we should see our debt levels by March or April. If there are certain debts like the NCDs which are payable in April, considering that also as paid, we should be in the range of 200 to 300 crores.
Okay, sure, sir. And lastly, what is the capex that we did in Q3 and how much are you planning for Q4?
So for Q3, the capex was approximately 15 crores. We expect another 25 crores in Q4 to take it to around 75 to 80 crores for the year.
Okay, sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
So, do we expect any further ECL provisions in Q4?
ECL generally are largely time-related provision for payments which are slightly delayed. So we believe that the recovery will happen by March. So I don't think so large impact may be there for Q4.
Okay. So secondly, you mentioned about the Saudi establishment expenses. So when did we incur the expense and why did we write it off so early?
So this expenditure is being incurred since last 1.5 years. for the establishment. They're bidding for projects. Unfortunately, they're not back. From a conservative view, because there was no order book at that office, we took a decision of making an impairment of it. Probably as soon as we expect a few orders in the next month or so, 4 to 5 weeks, once that happens, then maybe for post Q1 FY27, we'll be able to reverse those impairments.
And what segments are we targeting from Saudi? Which verticals?
We are all type of infrastructures, roads, power, and buildings.
Okay. And then secondly, our PBT was around 50 crores for the quarter. So what was the adjusted PAT? The reported PAT is 102 crores. So what was the adjusted PAT for the quarter?
I didn't follow up. 50 crores?
Adjusted 50 crores is the PBT.
Right.
So basically, we were trying to figure out what was the tax expense for the quarter, both on the normal operations and on the exceptional item.
Before exceptional items, the profit was 50 crores, which is approximately similar to, almost on the same edge of Q2 also. Slightly maybe.
So tax was negligible for the quarter.
Right. 57 crores. For Q2.
No. Tax was negligible for the quarter. Tax amount.
Tax amount was negligible because of the deferred tax reversal of the provisions which we made for impairment.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Determined Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm looking at I'm sort of a investor new to the entire domain of this entire EPC and project business. So my apologies upfront if this is a sort of silly question to begin with. But you're sort of deleveraging the balance sheet. You've already done a lot in the first 9 quarters. You're still sort of looking to further sell assets. And at a point in time where, either the new project pipeline is like, you sort of said that, this year has been fairly soft. You're obviously expecting, some improvement, next year. And even your existing projects are like, slow moving. I'm just sort of trying to understand because, EPC, business are seemingly, it involves a fair bit of, debt any which ways in terms of, working capital basically. So, when you're basically sort of selling those assets, I'm just sort of trying to understand, the balance sheet bulk up that you're sort of, looking to do. What is the, sort of purpose of that? And, isn't the balance sheet as it sort of stands today sort of already, support your, future plans?
So there are two strategies which we have. One is the development projects which we have, which we are monetizing and bringing cash in. This typically uses opportunity to look at future development projects also, like projects under solar or projects under BOT. The balance sheet being as it is around almost a net worth of plus 4,000 crores and monetization of these assets, deleveraging the debt to the extent of almost in the range of 200 to 300 crores only, or maybe as good as nil. I think so. We try to make the balance sheet a bit leaner.
Yeah, but you are also, the projects that you have on your balance sheet, right? I mean, there is always a construction risk, a whole bunch of risk during the construction period, in a project. You have sort of executed these projects. They are, now sort of starting to, throw cash. Let's even assume that, fourth quarter, basically, these four assets that you're looking to sell, that happens. NCD, also you sort of pay back in April and you sort of get to a 300 crore, debt number, which is, for the size of your company, that's 5,000-6,000 crore kind of top line company that's actually quite small. So is there any need to basically further sell the assets that you have, or at least sell them sort of strategically? I mean, if you're sort of bidding for some huge project, then maybe you might need to sort of sell some assets to basically fund it on that side. But let's say beyond March or beyond April, is there sort of any need to basically sell additional projects, as you have indicated in the past that you're pretty much selling everything. I don't think that you're planning to keep operational either HAM or BOT or whatever projects on your books basically. Is there any need to do that? That's my point.
So there is a lot of demand for assets, and there is a good arbitrage in selling these assets. These assets may be giving us an IRR of 15% to 17%, and the kind of projects which are acquired by buyers who are largely financial institutions or private equity funds or pension funds, they are generally discounting these cash flows at 10% to 12%. Makes sense in cashing them out and use this money for newer projects, which will bring an EPC order book also, plus another asset with say 15% to 17% IRR, which again will be have an opportunity to flip to a new buyer. So this probably is the model of every EPC contractor come developer should be going at also, that you create assets, hold for a couple of years, mature it, and flip it to a investor who's happy with a 10 to 12% IRR.
So that's exactly my point. Yes. I mean, this, I mean, first of all, your existing projects are, for a 15-16% IRR, they are fairly safe cash flows. So execute ho gaya hai. They are running essentially, and I presume you'll also be managing the O&M for all of your projects basically. Again, like I said, I'm sort of slightly new to the business and the companies. I'm not sort of sure on that count also. But when you're sort of taking a new project, sort of that also sort of new projects also sort of bring a fair bit of risk. But even leaving that aside, my sort of principal point here is that this year we have seen a very, given the fact that you are in the, almost 60-70% of your order book, 65%, two-thirds of your order book is in the road sector, you've seen a pretty soft bidding in FY26. I'm not sure what sort of changes in FY27 is. We've seen the budget also, just about less than a 10% increase in, capex, what the government is basically talking about. And clearly, defense and, some of the other sectors, high-speed rail corridors, etc., those sort of seem to be, the priority. So unless you're basically, so then the other sort of question is that, are you basically, looking to expand materially into, some new sectors, where traditionally the company sort of seemingly has been, mostly on the roadside, and of course there's a little bit of power T&D, railways less than 10% sort of share of order book, that's fairly small. Are you sort of looking to expand in a big way into some, new verticals, new business lines? Or because as far as the road piece is concerned, I don't really see, I mean, even the current balance sheet, and let's assume the March, April, what you're basically saying, also happens. Beyond that, I mean, the existing projects, the leftover projects that you have, which you've sort of said that, you would sort of look to monetize those as well. Well, what purpose would that sort of serve? Because at least in the intermediate term, till the time that you can sort of scale up your order book and get new projects, which I think this year also, you're missing on your order book, guidance at the beginning of the year, primarily because of slow bidding on the roadside itself. Right? I mean, that's just going to be cash sitting on the books earning, 6-7%. That's, interest rates are also like fairly low. Isn't it better to sort of keep those projects, at least sort of keep having that, 15-16% IRR, whatever it is, basically. It's definitely double digit, IRR, keep earning that IRR. And, you see the, order book, pipeline basically firming up, then you can probably, selectively probably, monetize some of those assets.
So actually there are two thoughts to it. The assets which are monetizing and the core business of the company are typically two different revenue streams. The assets which are monetized are giving a revenue stream of either financial income or a toll revenue. which is not an effort driven. You know, once you have already constructed, it's more of a economic impact on the project. So we are not making any EPC effort. Our major source of revenue is EPC, which brings in revenue. So we definitely our return expectation on EPC is better, and we expect 15 to 18% IRR on that kind of business. Better to invest in EPC contracts to earn that income, which we have monetized at a discounting of 12%. So that is definitely one driver to that. And second also is the burden. So initially, with all these projects, which are BOT projects or PP projects, have high debt. It typically brings a lot of, definitely there is a pressure on the balance sheet with a high debt. We were almost 6,700 debt before Q2, and now we are in the range of around 2,700. Substantially brings down the debt burden on the consol level also. So these two being in the main drivers and helps in creating cash which could be used for various purposes, including probably also servicing the investors who are there today on board.
Can I understand the history of it, but I'm still sort of...
Sorry to interrupt, Amit. Sorry,
can I have one bookkeeping question, if you don't mind, please?
Yeah.
One final point. So, you know, this Middle East, you know, impairment also, I mean, this 25 crores, I mean, isn't sort of running an office principally, you know, an operational sort of expense? So, you know, why is this coming, you know, on the balance sheet side, and why are you sort of impairing it? I'm not sure I understood this bit also, basically. Fine, there is an office in the Middle East, but, you know, principally the... the expense on that side will be operational and not, you know, capital.
That is true. But then this is the operations are being done by a subsidiary where the holding company, which is Ashoka Buildcon, has given a loan or a equity to that subsidiary. So in the books of ABL as a bookkeeping issue, is an investment or loan. It's not an operation expense. Operation at the console level, probably yes, what you're saying is right. At the console level, it would be merged as an expenditure. But at the standalone level, it is looking as a loan or equity invested. Now, because of the business not coming in the way, we have preferred to do an impairment as a conservative policy. Over the quarter, the value will reverse then.
Okay. So this impairment then doesn't sort of exactly show up into your console, basically, then?
No, it will not.
It will not. Okay, understood. Thank you. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Modi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for, you know, providing me the opportunity again. Sir, in you know, in your the order book details, the Maharashtra, you know, in the power T&D and others, Maharashtra is increased by 641 crore. So can you help me, like, which project was included in this?
Maharashtra probably is the
same. Power T and others.
Okay. Kali, I'll come back on this, which specific project you're talking about.
Yeah. And sir, also in the EPC buildings, you know, it has increased from 462 crore to 528 crore. So again, you know, where this increase was? Was it, you know, change in the scope, or there was some new addition?
New addition of an EPC contract, small EPC contract.
Okay. So second thing, you know, so I just wanted to understand, you know, with the NHAI coming up with the, you know, stringent rule about the network. So the formula, you know, on a broader level goes like this, you know, 5 times into the network minus the unexecuted value of BOT and HAM projects. So just wanted to understand this BOT and HAM project, the unexecuted value, will this belong only to the NHAI MORTH, you know, or will it also belong to the state projects as well as, you know, other than the road projects? Like, for example, you know, there are water projects which are also in the, under the, you know, HAM.
Yeah, all PPP projects. It will be all PPP.
All the PPP across the state or across the, you know, segments, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All PPP, okay. In the company.
Okay. And sir, one more thing, are we, you know, currently L1 in any of the projects?
Yeah, we are L1 in some of the projects, but we cannot disclose at this stage.
Okay, got it. And sir, last bookkeeping question, sir. There was a exceptional item, which is being recognized, where it has mentioned that, just a minute, sir, I will just go through one. So it was mentioned, we have created the obligation of something around 3,600 crore for obligations towards the investors in subsidiary, but of which we have only adjusted 2,660 crores, and balance 953 crore was credited back to the P&L. So just wanted to understand, sir, in terms of bookkeeping, what is this provision about?
So, see, over the years, in the past, because Mercury was an investor with us in our Holdco company, that is Ashoka Concessions, there was a provision created for the investors of around 360 crores. After adjusting their value of actual investment and the amounts for acquiring their CCDs, the balance amount of 95 crores, which was on the credit side, was brought to the P&L account as a income.
Okay.
As an exceptional item.
Okay. So, sir, over the period, whatever the cumulative, the provision was done, 361 crore, was it debited to the P&L? Excess is being,
Got yes, yes. Okay. It was the previous part. Yeah.
Got it, got it. Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vasudev from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up, sir. What is our current status and thoughts on monetization of Chennai ORR and Jaora Naigaon projects?
Chennai ORR, we continue to pursue seller. On the Jaora Naigaon, we are still holding it in our books as an investment. The revenues are strong, and we are just... if there, any good interest comes, we would be interested in doing a dialogue. Chennai ORR, we continue to discuss with investors, potential funds.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dr. Amit Vohra from the Homeopathic Clinic. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. So I've joined. This is late. So... just wanted to know, yesterday our finance minister has told that 12.2 lakh crores will be spent on infrastructure. So what is your expectation for order book this year and next financial year and the margins? Hello?
So for FY26, we are typically looking at order book intake in the next 2 months to the tune of around 3,500 crores, and based on the budget promises which have been made, definitely we will look overall order book intake for the next year to the tune of around 11,000 to 12,000, which we generally keep as a vision for the intake of orders.
And what is the kind of margin, sir, that you are looking out?
So generally in the range of 10 to 11%.
10 to 11%. Okay. So this 11 to 12,000 crore for next year includes only this central government orders or even Maharashtra or state government.
This would be all sectors: the roads, power, and other.
Power and okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take this as the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mudit for closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hi, sir. Just a last question. I think you said there was some impact because of extraordinary items of 52 crore. So if you have mentioned quantified the amount of tax, it will be helpful. Or otherwise, over to you, sir. Thanks.
Yeah, we have already said approximately 19 crores of reversal of deferred taxes based off the impact of these impairments and other impairments of investments all put together. So deferred tax reversal is there of 19 crores.
Thank you so much, sir. You can proceed with your closing remarks.
Yeah, shall we? We thank everybody for having joined this call. We hope you had the answers for what you are looking for. If you need any further information, you are free to contact me or our investor relations advisors, SGA, Mr. Devin Dhru. Thank you, everybody. Good day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of IIFL Capital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.